Glacier Bank's totally free checking saves you both time and money. Visit your nearest Glacier Bank office today. There's a convenient location near you. Glacier Bank, member FDIC and an equal housing lender. Now, Glacier Bank's Community Conversations. Today, we're going to talk fires. And that's a good day to do that because it's a darn cold outside. Steve Thompson and Allie Unwelling with us. Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Good morning, John. How's it going?
Now, Steve is with Climate Smart Glacier Country. And what is that exactly? Just review for me.
Sure, yeah. We're a partnership, a variety of different agencies, businesses, private individuals that are focused in on trying to understand what climate change means for our community and how we can prepare for it, and also to do our part to reduce our contribution to the greenhouse gases that are causing the problem in the first place.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And Allie is with DNRC.
That's right.
And Fire Safe Montana.
Yes, I do prevention, education, and information for the DNRC here in Kalispell, and I'm also one of our members of our local Fire Safe Flathead group with Steve.
Okay, now talk to me about this group.
So this is a group that started about almost 2 years ago, just a few of us, and I represent the DNRC. We have partners with the county and Flathead National Forest and local homeowner associations, organizations coming together, connecting with the main goal of creating fire-adapted communities in the Flathead area.
Well, we've had a rough time with fires here the last few years. I guess probably 4 of the last 5 years have been terribly smoky here in the Flathead. What's the outlook for this year?
You know, you never know. Last year at this time, we had a lot of snow. We had a very wet spring. Boy, comes May, you think, boy, we are going to have a quiet year. Mm-hmm. That didn't happen.
And then it all started, you know, it seems like at up there at the lake. What? I can't think of the name.
Lake McDonald.
No, I was thinking
Swan Lake.
Sealy Lake.
Sealy Lake.
Oh, yeah. Oh, there we had those. That fire just went on and on and besieged them for a long time.
Yeah. So obviously there's not a lot we can do about that, but what are we doing?
Well, the first thing we need to do is just sort of grapple with the issue and realize that if we try to come in every year in emergency mode and, oh my gosh, it's burning, we gotta run around with our heads, like chickens with their heads cut off, that's not a great strategy. So what we're all about is preparing, and the best time to prepare for fire season is not during fire season, don't you think, Allie?
I would totally agree. In fact, on the drive over when I was listening to KGEZ and listening to the fact that it's 0 degrees, it's 4 below in places. Yeah. And I thought, you know, there are things that we do in the winter to prepare for winter in Montana, right? We put our snow tires on. Oh. We leave a little earlier to get places on time. You know, there are things that you do. And on the swing of that in August when it's fire season, there are things that we do to prepare for fire season. It's just in the nature of living where we do. In Western Montana, we choose to live in a place that burns and freezes, and so there are things that we do to adapt to that.
Now, you have firsthand experience with wildfires, don't you, Allie?
I do. I spent a few years both on hotshot crews, on helicopter crews, on fire use modules, so doing a lot of monitoring and prescribed fire.
Did you ever slide down off of one of those helicopters?
I did. I was on a rappel crew for a couple of years. Yeah. That was a long, long time ago. Now I focus on prevention and education.
And there's a good reason why, isn't there?
That's right. That's right.
What's it like sliding down, rappelling down off of a helicopter into a burning forest?
Typically, if you're on a rappel crew, you're going into initial attack into remote areas that can't be accessed any other way. So they're generally pretty small fires, and you're trying to keep them small.
Is this similar to what the smoke jumpers did years ago?
Similar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the smoke jumper still out there?
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
Yeah. How does that fit into what you were doing with the choppers?
Very similar, just different terrain. There are different reasons, different applications for each.
I'd never really thought about it before, but smoke jumper, what do they do with their parachute when they land?
They have all kinds of gear. They just get it all packed up, and they will hike it out.
Yeah, I wondered, because it would burn if you left it laying there.
Oh,
you
know, no, they pack it all out.
Okay. They pack it all up and pack it out. And so understanding what it's like to fight one of these things and how devastating it is and understanding that there's probably something we can do about it. Let's talk about some of those things we can do with a fire-adapted community right after this. Our guest, Steve Thompson and Allie Unwoiling, and we learned that Allie jumped right into fires, and so she's got a personal relationship with wildfires, and that's why she'd like to see them end. And Steve, you say that our situation here in Montana is not going to get better anytime soon.
No, the reason Climate Smart Glacier Country is getting involved in the Flathead, Fire Safe Flathead, is we've taken a close look at what the Montana Climate Assessment, which came out this year, what does that look like into the future? What is our changing climate? What are the projections? And it basically means we are entering an era of megafires. We've got a forecast of, basically, if you looked at 2017, that's going to become much more frequent. And they call what happened in 2017 a flash drought, where you had a wet winter, a wet spring, and then all of a sudden
yeah,
the rain stops. You know, we're getting less, and the projections are that we're going to get less of those June rains that we all remember from years in the past. Not so much. And then really drying out in July and August, and the heat goes up, sucking the moisture out of the fuels and out of the soil. And that sets us up for what happened in 2017, which is extremely dry conditions.
So, Allie, we need to become a fire-adapted society here.
Yeah, exactly. And I think one of the things that we need to remember is that fire plays a role on our landscape. Fire is and has been forever a part of our forests. And so we need it for regeneration. We need it for cleaning up underbrush. I mean, there are recycling of nutrients. There's a reason why there were lightning starts and fires were allowed to burn for a long time. But then as we moved in a century ago and we started suppressing fires, right? And we did it for a reason, because of protection of life and property. It seemed to make sense. But now we're at this convergence of factors where we've been suppressing fires and we have a changing climate, changing forests, along with people moving into our forested lands.
Okay.
So it's created a more complex environment, for sure.
Okay, now, you mentioned people moving into forested lands, and that would include right here in the Flathead Valley, what I call the foothills people have built up there. As far as trees around your home, what is the safe zone as far as clearing trees out so you have a measure of safety?
Well, there's a reason why we don't necessarily call them forest fires anymore. We call them wildfires or wildland fires, mm-hmm. because it's grass, brush, and timber. But as far as what you can do with spacing, we recommend being as aggressive as possible as that you can be with that space around your home. So that's what we would call the home ignition zone. And you would start with a 3 to 5 foot non-combustible perimeter right there around your structure. And then you go out to 30 feet. So, you know, you stand at your walls and you pace it out about 30 feet and you take a look. That's the area we like to see lean, clean, and green. So if it can be short grass, irrigated, not a lot of trees, maybe you have some high moisture plants planted in your landscaping scheme. Try not to have junipers, arborvitaes, anything volatile, meaning they have those oils that burn, so conifers, real close. And then you move out to 100 feet. And try to space your trees accordingly. So the idea is that we're breaking up the fuels So as a fire comes through, both we're breaking up fuels both horizontally across the ground and then vertically. So the fire has less of a chance of moving from the ground into the trees. And then, I mean, if you do that and your neighbor does that and we have communities doing that, then it's sort of that cumulative collective effect of all of us working together to protect communities.
Lincoln Shute harps on this every time he comes on. Please put your address out in front of your place so we can find you.
Oh, yep. Yeah.
That's very true. Lincoln's one of our Fire Safe Flathead members. And Big Fork Fire Department has a program for, I want to say it's $20. They make signs, road signs for folks in the valley. And I just ordered signs for my own place. So, yeah, having those, you know, 4-inch letters on non-combustible reflective signage, getting your place labeled
especially,
is a great start.
Especially if you live in one of those zones, like I know where Lincoln lives, and you would have to take a fork in a road to get up to his place. So I guess having a sign with the number so you know that you're on the right track.
Because, exactly.
Okay. Now, as far as assessment, if you live in one of these areas, does the DNRC or somebody, can they come in and do an assessment and make recommendations?
We do. And that's me. I would be right now. We don't have a huge staff going out and doing assessments, but honestly, there hasn't been a huge demand either. But yeah, if people call me at my office, we can schedule a home and property assessment and we'll do a walk around.
I would hope there would be a huge demand coming soon.
I would love to see a huge demand for that.
If what Steve is telling us is going to happen,
right.
if that's going to really happen, we're going to have to change the way that we think about living outside of town.
Right. And there's a lot, I mean, we talk about what you can do around your home and your property. The first thing is hardening your home. So making sure you have a metal or asphalt shingle roof, looking at what kind of siding you have, looking at your home itself as a structure, and then working out from there. We also look at width of roads, clearance of driveways, length of driveways, water sources, understanding that the responders who are coming in, whether it's a small fire that's moving quickly or if it's a large fire that may impact your community, there's a lot that we can do ahead of time.
And it seems to me that working in harmony with the DNRC, maybe you'd get a break on your insurance.
I could say yes to that, but right now I can't.
Okay.
And if there's somebody out there in insurance who wants to talk about this and educate me, I'd love to hear from you.
Boy, yeah. Wouldn't that be something? A little more incentive. We have Steve Thompson and Allie Unwelling with us. And Allie's going to talk with about the upcoming FVCC lecture series on wildfires in western Montana right after this.
Well, our guest this morning, Climate Smart Glacier Country, Steve Thompson, and from the DNRC, Fire Safe Flatheads, Allie Unwelling, and I guess we have a lecture series coming up where I'm assuming that homeowners could not only listen, but perhaps ask questions.
Absolutely. So it's a 4-part community lecture series we are hosting at Flathead Valley Community College. The first evening starts February 22nd. So each evening, like I said, 4 consecutive Thursdays, 6 to 8 p.m., starting February 22nd. And that night, we're going to have one of our local student of fire. His name is Rick Trembath. And he's been in fire for a long time, along with Tony Harwood from the Confederated and Salish Kootenai tribes. And they will be sharing a collection of photos and video to tell the history of fire in our greater Flathead area.
Wow.
So we've got fire history to start with, and that's just to let us know what has happened. And then on March 1st, the next Thursday, we'll just talk about how fires are suppressed, talk about prescribed fire, fire behavior, the effects of fire, sort of the big picture of fire, if folks just want to learn more about wildfire.
And when you say that, you mean the way nature... the way it happens naturally, or are we talking about suppression?
I think both.
Okay.
Yeah, so suppression, why fires are suppressed, and then why it's actually beneficial to support prescribed fire programs when you see smoke in the air, and understand that if agencies, I would say, that's probably the best place for it to happen is mm-hmm. On their ground, if they are implementing a prescribed fire, they're doing it for a reason, restoring landscapes. So if we can support those programs,
okay.
So yeah, they'll talk about prescribed fire and fire suppression both, and then the third night is March 8th, and we are going to have a panel discussion. So with our local fire managers, our land managers from the DNRC here, Flathead National Forest, Flathead County, it's a Lincoln shoot. Stoltz Land and Lumber, Glacier National Park, and we're going to have the fire managers in a comfortable panel setting available to answer questions. So we're just going to talk about the fire programs in the valley and how they work and how they see things changing. Mm-hmm. So that's just an open panel discussion. And then the last evening is March 15th, and that's my evening. So that's the evening that we're going to talk and just dedicate a couple of hours to what home and landowners can do living with fire in Northwest Montana.
Okay, that's a series of four Thursday evenings at Flathead Valley Community College. What are the hours on that so people can plan?
6 to 8 p.m.
Okay.
Yep, each evening.
So a good investment of a couple of hours.
I think so.
Yeah, yeah. Steve, back to you just real quickly, because I know you're studying the climate situation. And you're pretty sure that what we're looking at here is just the beginning?
For a variety of reasons, as Ali said, there's a sort of a confluence of things where people are moving into areas that frequently burn just naturally, that you have this history of fire suppression and basically land management that hasn't necessarily been consistent with trying to have a fire-adapted landscape. And then you add on top of that what is projected to be an increase in hotter, drier seasons. You know, we're lucky up here that we do have water and that we are not expected to have long-term drought. The projections for our precipitation is we're actually maybe going to have slightly more annual precipitation over the course of a year in, say, 2050, so looking ahead 30 years. However, most of that's going to be increase in the fall in particular, maybe a slight increase in winter, maybe more in the spring. But then for some reason, and it has to do with ocean currents and the jet stream and a variety of global factors that influence regional weather, that spigot sort of turns off beginning in June. And this is not going to be every year, but more years than the current normal, we're going to enter into severe fire season. And that's when you get those really big, dangerous fires.
Well, that's the reason why we need to get educated on this quickly.
We got to live with fire. We can't vanquish it. We can't destroy it. And it's no good to put it out of our minds until August. We got to be thinking about it ahead of time. And you know, that's why what Ali is doing and Fire Safe Flathead is so important, because there are steps we can take. I personally tell my friends, I just recommend that you just don't build a place out in that wildland urban interface. You're going to be stressed out. Even if you don't burn, it's stressful. Live in town, live out in the open areas where the fires don't aren't likely to come through. But the reality is there's a lot of people that live out there, and there's steps and there's really positive things we can do at the residential level, at the neighborhood level, at the community level, and the countywide level. All those different scales of preparedness are really going to be increasingly important.
And I know so many people who have worked their entire lives with the dream of retiring and living in a little chunk of land out in the trees in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
Well, and I guess that one of the messages is simply that there is a group, there are people, there are professionals here available for advice. Like you said, assessments, all of that. We can definitely
and you can build these zones like you mentioned. You know, you do everything to optimize the safety in the area you live.
That's why you need to attend this series.
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, and if there are builders, planners, real estate agents, if there's anybody out there who wants to be part of creating these fire adapted communities, I encourage you to reach out and get in touch with us.
Okay. Allie Unwelling and Steve Thompson, thank you guys. What a great conversation this
morning. Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Glacier Bank's Community Conversations is a service of Glacier Bank where your checking is totally free. Just about anywhere you are in Northwest Montana, you'll find a Glacier Bank office nearby. Keeping you connected to your friends and your community is an important part of the mission of Glacier Bank. Member FDIC and an equal housing lender. I hope you'll plan on joining us again tomorrow for Glacier Bank's Community Conversations. Now, KGEZ's exclusive AccuWeather forecast.